This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 358.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts, Keith Helsley and Nathan Caldwell. They aren't only breaking all the rules, they're absolutely revolting.
All right, we'll get started here. Hey, everybody, this is your host, Keith. It's time for Quest for Truth. We may have a little bit of a longer show today. I'm joined in Church House Studios by Christopher the Wild Moose.
All right, it's me, Wild Moose.
Yeah. Hey, and before we get started, this might be a real fast time to mention the Christian podcast community, where there's a bunch of podcasters, and a few of them sound like these voices you're about to hear right now.
Two great books and one website. Visit scribingforeternity.org. There are two books that I would like to recommend you purchase. What they, meaning people who aren't Christians, other religions believe, and what we believe. Systematic Theology Made Simple. Both are great resources, especially if you plan on witnessing to somebody. scribingforeternity.org.
Ever wish you could get together with a friend over coffee each week and talk about God's Word? Me too. Hi, I'm Anthony Russo. I'm the host of Grace and Peace Radio. Grace and Peace Radio is a Christian living blog and podcast dedicated to engaging conversations about applying God's Word to everyday life. I hope you'll join me, Anthony Russo, on Grace and Peace Radio each week at graceandpeaceradio.com or right here on the christianpodcastcommunity.org.
All right, back to our episode.
Those were some great voices.
Yeah. But I would like to play the actual clip so people can hear what other podcasters sound like instead of just me saying, I like this one, I like that one. Now, I get it. Some people like to do the testimonial towards the stuff they like. But I like playing the clips because it gives people something different to listen to besides me. I should have mentioned, too, we don't have Nathan Caldwell with us today. He couldn't make it. He had kids home, I think he said, and he didn't want to tangle with them and tangle with us, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you're tangling with kids, you get wrapped up pretty easy.
Yeah. Especially when they carry all those ropes around.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to bring up a topic. We don't really have a Bible scripture today to talk about. But hey, part of what we do on Quest for Truth is talk about worldviews. And that's what we got today is a worldview, because there's so many people trying to be so sensitive about not offending folks that, as it turns out, the University of Washington out there in Washington has come up with a list of words that they are supposed to avoid using. And they have suggested alternates, and they have reasons where the word came from and why it's problematic. We're not going to make it through all the lists, but we'll touch on some major highlights, because this kind of points out some of the, weirdness in our world. And if you, a nice Christian conservative kind of folks out there, some of these might be very surprising to you. But it gives you an inside glimpse of the mindset of how wacko our liberal progressive brethren have become.
Spoiler warning. It's like there's not very much left in there.
What? Oh, yeah.
In their heads.
Yeah. But again, this is from a list compiled by the University of Washington, and it basically falls into four categories. The first category in this inclusive guide is about race, and it's really the by far the biggest section in here. But it has to do with race, ethnicity, religion, that kind of a thing. And now I'll say that some of these things are pretty obvious of why they call them problematic, but some of the reasons that they give are just silly or illogical. And some of the suggested better alternate words are either confusing or so vague, or sometimes even offensive, in my opinion, even more offensive than the original word.
Or, and it's certainly more verbose and yeah, full of more syllables than the problematic words.
There is a word in there that it's actually put that way. You shouldn't use the term cakewalk, or it's more shorter form to take the cake. I thought, wait a minute, to take the cake. Cakewalk. I think cakewalk is the shorter form. Anyway, we may get to that one or not, but we'll see how our conversation goes here. So do you want to lead the way on that? What items do you think are significant you want to talk about?
I mean, we could essentially kind of boil together all of the stuff at the top, like involving like blackout dates and
because they have blackout days, blacklist, whitelist, black box, white box, what's some other ones? Black hat hacker, white hat hacker. They're all you kind of get the theme there. It's really all about black and white. It has very little to do with hackers or boxes or dates. It's all about black or white.
Yeah. Because apparently they also don't realize that in general, even in the Bible, that it's light is... It's not even necessarily that it's about
it's individuals. Not about races or
white
people.
And black has more to do with light and darkness than
you know. Even in the Bible, if you was to look up the word light in the Hebrew English dictionary, it pretty much says stuff like light, purity. You look up dark and it has no evil, and pretty much the emotional baggage has been tied to light and dark since day one of history. And it's a way to say, look, the evil is black is sin, sweetness and light, light is good. We live in the light of the day. We sleep in the darkness of night. And biblically, if you are out prowling at night, you're probably up to no good. Okay. And so the reality is white and black just refer to, you could say purity, you could say your ethics. You have good ethics if you're white, you have poor ethics if you use black. The unfortunate thing with this is, of course, as you could imagine, they're saying that you shouldn't, use white as good because it means white people are better than black people. But what they're forgetting is, I don't know that white people were always called white people. And for sure, black people have only been called black people in the last 40 years, 50 years. Before that, they weren't called black people. They were called a number of other things.
Yeah.
They were called Negro. They were called colored people. They were called darkies. They were called the N-word, which is not very good at all.
I think another one was coons.
Yeah, during the beginning of the 20th century, they were called coons. And before you think that's offensive, guess who started that one? That was the name that the black people preferred to be called. You had what was called coon music. And it was just that. It was the music that the people who were of the darker persuasion sang and played. Now, of course, now it is offensive.
Right. But for fun, I am currently have black hood, black hat problem where it's brought up. And as I just said, black hood and black hat are the problem words.
What's the suggested replacements?
The suggested ones for black hood, black hat have many more syllables than either of those. Oh. The first one.
Like malicious hacker.
Unethical, malicious, malevolent, malignant.
Okay. Now this is a stop right there. So they're saying you shouldn't use white and black to connotate good and bad because there's a parallel with white people and black people. But there are suggestions still are that if what you formerly called black, you're calling malevolent and malicious, which are bad words. So you're still identifying that whatever that term black hat referred to, you're still saying it's a bad thing. It's malicious and malevolent.
After malevolent, the very next thing before they decided to add the word hacker in there was bad criminal.
Bad criminal.
It's like,
as opposed to a good criminal.
I'm like, yeah.
I think most criminals are bad.
Definition.
Yeah. A
black hood, black hat is a criminal hacker who basically hacks into computer systems so that way they get steal money or try to get infamous. I almost said infamous. Yeah. Anybody who'd seen the Three Amigos.
Yeah, you would understand that one. And yeah, if you read the white hat definition, it is a beneficial hacker, somebody who hacks into a system to point out flaws so they can be improved. But still, it's just very simplified to say white hat, black hat. And the other thing about that particular is the definition, I forget what it reads.
I just went through the white hat was it's a beneficial hacker who it works with the companies. They're paid by the company to help them find security problems in their.
As this list uses the definition, it tries to tell people where these terms came from. And the real origin of black hat and white hat has nothing to do with race at all. The origin is in the silent movie era when you only had black and white film. If you had your actors in colored costumes, if you could see the colors, and I'd be very clear on whose side they were on, but because of the limited contrast of black and white film, they put all the bad guys in the black clothes and the black hats and the good guys in the light clothes and the white hats. And it just became a standard in early movies. So you could tell when a cowboy rode into the scene, you knew from what he was wearing, what side he was on. Now, real cowboys, they wore whatever, different colors, even the bad ones. But that's where it came from. It came from movies, and it was simply a way so the audience could know which side to root for.
No, without words being told, being given the information, which one was the good guy, which one was the bad guy.
And it had nothing to do with race. It was just a mechanism for movie producers and directors to use.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
I was going to say, well, real quick, why is problematic? I'll read what they have to say about the hacker situation. Because the words are derivative from racist words.
And that's a lie. They're not derivative from racist words.
Black for something undesirable and white for something good. That's why it's bad.
But that has nothing to do with race.
It's perpetuated concepts of, hold on a minute.
Yeah, and if people are trying to
that have been used for keeping minority. Oh, excuse me, I can't say it. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, but minority is another word you're not supposed to use. Although they use it in that definition, don't they?
Let me look.
So even
oppressed people of color, excuse me.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I wonder if their first draft though said minorities, then they realized somebody said
they probably had to red pencil it and fix it. Which red penciling is also a problematic word to use. But let's say move on. Once you get past all the white and black derivatives in the opening, probably has to be at least a dozen problematic things. You finally get into grandfather.
Yeah, grandfather Dan was one.
And my first thought is, okay, if you can't use the word grandfather, and I want to tell you about my mom's parents, what am I supposed to say? See that guy with the gray hair with the overalls who rides on around on the tractor out in his field? You know, that guy, he's my, I can't say the word because it might be offensive to you, but he's my mom's dad. Am I supposed to be, say that? I mean, grandfather is a pretty good term. So right. it makes it kind of silly to say it's inoffensive.
Of course, in the process of talking about, like, because it's like grandfathered in, grandfather clause, you know, the various sort of meanings where you would say something like that, and suggesting the word legacy, but some other ones too, but for sure legacy sticks out. But
it makes it sound to me like the term grandfather is bad, because it means I've been here longer than you, and I have benefits that you don't have and you can never have. So therefore, that makes me bad because I got here first, you know, because I'm, you know, 20 years older than you and I've been here that long. They say legacy. You know, I can go for that. Legacy would be a good term to replace it with. But still, if they're mad because somebody has benefits that you don't have, no matter what term you use, eventually legacy will fall out of favor and they'll want to pick on some other word. It's just silly.
Of course, the group of problem words right after that involve the words master and slave.
And there's several, again, like the white and black. And here's another one, master, slave. I get it. You know, it's not a fun thing to think about masters and slaves and slavery. And, of course, all these terms revolve around that. But you have to remember that when used in the realm of science, which these terms are supposed to be relating to, mechanics, technology, engineering, that it's perfectly correct to say you have a master system that provides all the computer resourcing, and then you have a slave system that attaches to that. Back in the military, we had to jump start vehicles sometimes. They didn't call them jumper cables. I don't know why they didn't, but they called it, you called it a slave cable, and you had a master vehicle that provided, you know, the good battery, and the other vehicle was called the slave vehicle, and you attached them with a slave cable. It's just what they were called. It was a technical nomenclature of that thing. But I get it. It's not exactly a preferable word choice, and their suggested alternatives, I think, are just fine, because they're talking about, you know, server client system or
parent child
system, which I think is actually not exactly correct for the kind of term that they're using.
I think they do put a notation in there about there was like a notation involving that it might not fit for all things.
Because, well, let's jump on the parent-child situation. When you have on your computer screen, you open up, say, Microsoft Windows, and the big rectangular-looking screen opens up. That's your parent window. And within that parent window, you have several child windows. You have a child window that represents your document, a child window that represents your toolbar across the top, a child window that represents any, you know, sidebar tools you may have. And so these child windows exist within the parent window, but it doesn't mean the parent window has the resources. It's just a container that holds these other elements. So that's why I say it's not really a good fit. But to say a source and a client, or a server and a client, now that's more apt to be a good replacement for
that. I mean nobody's ever heard of these other windows or other things growing up and then also becoming parents things and having their own little
Child. I had Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel and their parent Windows, and they made some little child Windows.
And the next thing I knew, I had Microsoft Accountant.
Yeah. But we'll move past all the,
and then of course
the master-slave stuff.
With the word master, of course, they want to make sure that there's a caveat. Well, it's bad for these things, but it's not bad for these things.
Yeah, and one notation they had on their definition and problematic stuff that they're talking about is, it's bad to see a master and slave computing system, but, you know, if you have that degree in between bachelor's and doctor's, well, it's okay to use master for that.
Note the context degree. In which the word master is used.
Or you can use it. Sally is a master at chess, but you can't say Sally is a master of this class or something like that.
Or the master of her domain. She can't be in control of stuff.
Which, of course, means webmaster is now a bad word to use. I'm like, you know, I really could care less. Even though that's what I am in many cases, is a webmaster. I've really never not really liked that term. Even whenever I first got started with it. But yeah, they tried to at least say, well, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. It depends on how you use it. I was like, yeah, well, you better be defining that really well, because if you start blanket saying it's no good, then you're going to have to change the name of your degree. You know, if you're, and how often do you see on the internet, hey, next Tuesday, join my master class and learn how you can make money selling stuff online. Why do you call it a master class for? You know, it's supposed to be a bad term, you know. It's called a master class because you're trying to teach people how to master the ability to do internet marketing or whatever the class happens to be. But, yeah. I think if we zoom past all, because there's various nuance, master, webmaster, and so forth. But then they have tribal knowledge. I thought, wow, I've never even used that word. I didn't even know it was a thing. But their suggested words is institutional knowledge or organizational knowledge. I thought, well, that's fine too, but I don't really use all those terms. And if you keep on reading through, and it says, the word tribe is sometimes used to mean a well-connected or organized group of people. And I'm thinking, how is that undesirable? Because you're saying you're an organized group of people. People who work together for an organization, employees in a union. But it's offensive to many American Indians.
And other like groups.
And other like Alaskan people. No, wait a minute.
Because tribal gives the impression of being savage.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, that would be like one of the last things on my mind to equate tribes with. But the first thing that I think of, if you say the word tribe, is the tribes of Israel. So are the tribes of Israel undesirable? Are they savage? Are they in some way being demeaned by using that? No.
For some reason, when I think of the word tribe or tribal or tribes, there's two things that pop into mind. There was I think they were a rap group or an R&B group in the 90s called a Tribe Called Quest. Also, there's an old PC
game. That should be, yes, a Tribe Called Quest.
There's an old PC game called Tribes. Those are the two
games. Yeah, I think I vaguely remember that one.
I don't remember what all it was about.
But there's nothing bad or derogatory about it. And if you're going to get your panties in a bunch over it, you've got some problems. Maybe you should go talk to your therapist about it. But but looking at all that, it's like, you know, all it really means is you're part of the group, and maybe there's some shop jargon involved, and things like that. But it's like, it's not, I mean, you could say that it's not inclusive, because if you're not in the tribe, it's things you wouldn't know about. But still, it's more about shop jargon and lingo than anything really bad. Next up is brown bag. And yeah, I thought, you're kidding me. How often have I been referred to as a brown bagger in the military? Because the military, if you are not married, you live in the barracks, you eat in the chow hall. But if you're married, you live off base, you come to work, you're not authorized to eat in the chow hall, so you bring your lunch in a brown bag.
That happens in school, too.
And the name, you're brown bagging it. Like, so it's offensive because I bring my lunch to work? I'm sorry. You know what? It's offensive to me because I can't afford to buy lunch in the cafeteria.
The suggested replacement words were lunch and TED Talks.
Now, lunch, I get. TED Talks, I don't.
It has something to do with some kind of YouTube or
So when you go to a TED Talk, you bring food to eat while you're watching the TED Talk? Oh, see, sometimes their replacement words are so vague and unrelated. It's like, if you would said that, I wouldn't know what you're talking about. But if you say brown bagging it, I know what you're talking about. But here's the thing is, when they say brown bagging it, they don't mean taking your lunch. There's racial connotations. And this is stuff I didn't really know, I did look it up.
What gets me is their description is it refers to a brown bag lunch, which is a meeting. And like, no, I think it just refers to lunch if you bring your own lunch.
Yeah, regardless if it's a meeting or your regular lunch hour, you're brown bagging it. And that's the definition. But what makes it problematic, of course, they bring race into it.
It has to do with the brown bag test, where they would use the brown paper bags to determine how black somebody was.
Now, let me expand on that just for a moment, because that sounds pretty bad. It's like, so you're saying that the brown hue of, say, like you go to a grocery store and you get paper or plastic, get the paper sack, that color brown means that you're too black to be part of a white person's group. Well, allegedly, that's what it actually started out as being, is the group of white students, I think in Louisiana, decided that if you're darker than the color of this paper sack, you couldn't be part of their group. But it didn't take long, and black kids at black universities started using the brown bag test. And if you were lighter than the color of that bag, you couldn't be part of their black sororities and stuff and fraternities. And so it started out as being whites against blacks, but then it's turned around it was blacks against dark blacks against lighter blacks. So, and then white people had nothing to do with it. So if there's racial connotations over how black or brown you are, it became more used and known by blacks among blacks than white among blacks. So I've never heard of it until I read this list.
Again, I always thought it had to do with lunch.
Me too. Because I had to look it up. Did some searches on the web. I was like, well, that's the history of it. That's the real history of it, not what this University of Washington.
The only thing their problem with it was is it does say it was used by black and or African African-American students to as part of their sororities and fraternities.
That's what raised the flag on me to look it up, because that phrase there says it was part of the black people's fraternities and fraternities. I can't pronounce the words right. And I looked it up, and then there was a big history about it. It was really more about black people discriminating against their own black people. It had very little to do with white people discriminating against them, which I think that's really silly. Yeah. So because black people don't like black people, I can't use this word that means I'm going to bring my lunch to work. And of course, cakewalk, you can't use all that. I don't use that phrase anyway. My experience with cakewalks is it's just the thing you do at carnivals. You walk around a little color-coded sidewalk, or they have numbers. And just like musical chairs, they stop the music, they call out the number. If you got the number, you get a cake. But the definition says, oh, no, this came from slavery days, and it has to do with slavery. I thought, okay, make everything about a race and slave. I don't know. I don't know why that, even so, I don't know why that's offensive. You're winning a cake.
And of course, with piece of cake, I mean, it's not something I say all the time. It's more usually whenever I make remarks, it's just, something has popped into my head. Yeah, it's a piece of cake. And then I go, I really love cake. I want some.
If we skip down the list just a little bit, there's one that you can't say jip. That would be something that I kind of say that a lot. You know, I've been gypped or whatever. Well, I don't, you know, it's not like a daily thing I say, but I've been known to say that. And they give their reasons of why. The alternatives are steals, a scam, fraud, cheat, which is good. Those are good alternatives. It means if I say I've been gypped, that's what it means. I've been scammed or defrauded or whatever. But they go on to define it. And they say that it relates to the word gypsy, but they go on to say that it relates to the Romani people who are characterized as thieves and swindlers. That's not true. It does relate to gypsies, but that's what the Romani people called this group of folks that came from Egypt. If you were Egyptian and you migrated to Romania, you were known as a gypsy because you were from Egypt. And the reason why the whole thievery came into it is that these gypsies were roving bands of people who had no means of support. So they would steal anything that wasn't nailed down. So if you had gypsies around, you had to keep your eye on your stuff. Right. But this definition says it's disparaging on the Romani people. It's like, no. No, it's disparaging on people who from Egypt who migrated to Romania.
Yeah.
You don't understand the history of that. But, anyway. Yeah.
And they also don't seem to understand it, that sometimes there's a reason things end up with certain connotations and meanings. It's because it's kind of truthful. I mean, we're all gypsies, you know. Naughty? Almost certainly not, but, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever the majority of them are maybe a bit shifty or shady, then it's like, well.
Yeah. So if you have a group of people who are shifty and shady and still anything that's not nailed down, maybe we should call them Democrats. Yeah. Sorry about that. They had to slip out.
Yeah. Especially considering they like changing the meanings of words whenever.
But yeah, so these people who compiled this list, they almost had that right. It is a disparaging remark against gypsies, but their origin of gypsies is not even close.
I think my favorite.
I know this because I know somebody who is from Romania, and in speaking to her one time, the term gypsy came up, and she just about, I would not let people know that you are related to gypsies because that. She did not. I mean, she was from Romania, and she had nothing to do with those evil, nasty gypsies. So, yeah, you're not disparaging Romanians. You're actually supporting Romanians if you call somebody a gypsy.
I think my favorite problem words was the very next one, lowering the bar.
Yeah. You can't say lowering the bar. Now, this is circular logic here. Now, the alternatives they say is simplify, inclusive, make more accessible. This is what they say lowering the bar should be instead. But they say this phrase is based on the erroneous idea that relaxing, you have to relax hiring standards for people who are from different ethnic backgrounds, gender backgrounds.
Yeah. And then when they talk about why it's problematic, they immediately go, well, actually, it's not problematic.
Yeah. So lowering the bar is relaxing the standards so you can include gender roles and ethnic roles. But in fact, in many cases, it's the opposite. Companies who have, let me read this word again. Companies that have poorly designed hiring practices fail to adequately evaluate highly qualified, often diverse candidates. So in other words, they're saying lowering the bar is bad because it excludes races and genders, but lowering the bar is good because it includes people who would be otherwise overlooked. It's like, so is it good or is it bad? Is lowering the bar good or is it bad? You just say we shouldn't do it, but now you're saying we should do it.
And I'm pretty sure most companies, if they're hiring somebody, if they need somebody who's highly skilled, they're going to hire the most highly skilled person, regardless of what they look like.
Well, whenever you apply to a job for a company, it starts with the human resources department. The boss says, hey, I need to fill a job. Here's the knowledge, skills, and abilities I need. Bam, there you go, job description. And HR gets that. They don't have a clue what this shop does or what they need. All they know is the man says, here's your job description. I need A, B, and C. They say, hey, we're going to apply for this job. You must meet A, B, and C. And if people apply and they don't meet A, B, and C, they immediately get filtered out.
Yeah.
Because they don't meet those minimum demands. Well, in reality, maybe the manager is willing to bend on item number C. Maybe it's the norm, but it's okay if we don't have that. We could train them on that. Well, if HR doesn't know that, they're going to filter some people out who might be qualified. Some of these people who might be called out, unless you lower the bar. But so it's lowering the bar is not the problem. The problem is either writing a good job description so that HR knows it's okay to flex on points, you know, D, F, and G. But it's not okay to flex on A, B, and C. Lowering the bar is never good. If the standard is set, you don't want to go below the standard. I mean, unless you're really desperate and it's like, I just need a warm body here to do this for me.
Right. I mean, there's,
and I'll train them as we go.
There are certain instances where you really have to be rigid on A, B, and C because those are the ones that are, those are the qualities that are in, that are going to be tested the most, and you need to be able to deal with what those requirements are.
So at the hospital, they're hiring doctors, but we should lower the bar so we can be more inclusive. So you don't really need to have a PhD. You don't really need to have 12 years of school.
You remember
just show up with your high school diploma and you're in.
You remember The Simpsons? Hiya, Dr. Nick.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that's back in the early days whenever Simpsons was still pretty good. And Dr. Nick was the guy who comes in. He's like, hiya. Oh, I see you have an illness. Yeah. I don't know what to do. Or he gives some ridiculous thing where you're like, that's not exactly
a treatment. I see you're having trouble with your esophagus.
Yeah. Well, or that SNL bit there, yeah.
Now, of course, they have that word you mentioned earlier, is minority. You can't use the word minority. They suggest that instead of using the umbrella term of minority, you call someone by their actual specific minority, as in African American, American Indian, or others.
Right.
And it's like, oh, so now I have to know what you are so I can call you by our nationality before I even talk to you. Or you could use generic terms like people of color or something like that. Traditionally underserved community, historically excluded, which is like, oh, come on. We know it. If you say minority, we understand what you mean. People who are...
Wait.
In the lesser number of the crowd. minority literally means a smaller number of the part, right. less than half of the whole number.
I like their why it's problematic, because they literally give an example. Let's see here. Let me reread this. Why it's problematic. The minority is used to refer to minority, like you know, groups of people or people with disabilities. Let's see here. I'll just go to their example, because the example is what gets me, is they say when you're talking about the minority in a community in a redlined area of a town.
Yeah, pause there. Red line later, that's also a problematic word, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that was literally what I was going to say, is that they're giving this thing, and then I guess they didn't proofread problematic to words realize under. That they were using a, was like, oh no, it's an example. We didn't actually, it's like,
yeah, no.
Whatever, dudes.
They're using one of their problematic words in their definitions. Yeah. But if you move on down, if you're done with that, I'm sorry if you're not, but mob programming. Now, the only thing I want to say there is it's bad to use mob programming, because if you do, you might be wearing concrete shoes from the guys who have the machine guns and the violin cases. Actually, that's not what makes it problematic. I can't really care less. But the alternatives is whole team swarming, collaborative programming. In other words, it's a group effort. It's a non-organized group effort.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally just call it group programming.
So I mob is an organized group. That's a perfectly good description of that.
I wonder if they think the...
Actually, you know, if I think about it, when you talk about, you know, mob as you know, criminal, organized crime, mob is actually the organized crime. Gang means unorganized crime. So technically, mob is an organized thing. They should be calling it gang programming, not mob programming.
I was sitting there thinking about, like, if they have a problem with the mob programming, do they have a problem with the viral internet sensation of flash mobs?
I don't know.
where all everything's normal, then all of a sudden a group of people just like break out into a dance. To some energetic music, and then just leave. Like, it's almost like you're
marching to the subway, you break out and dance, and you march
on. It's almost like you all of a sudden you're watching like a Bollywood thing or like at a musical, all of a sudden a whole bunch of people are just in synchronized dancing in the middle of it, and then just immediately going back to their normal lives like nothing, like it was completely normal.
Now, there's a group of phrases that are supposed to be not allowed to use anymore. Now, before I read them off, basically you can group them all. The reasons why you can't use them is cultural appropriation. But it has to do with ninja. You can't use ninja because it's cultural appropriation. You can't use no can do. It's pidgin English is what it is. But because it's pidgin English, it's culturally appropriated because people who don't speak English will use a phrase like that. Off the reservation, of course, has to do with Indians on the reservations. Open the kimono has to do again with
Japanese. I've never heard that one.
I don't think I have either, but apparently people say it. I don't know.
I guess, well, I did notice that it was like a 1970s thing. So
yeah, even so, growing up in the 70s, I couldn't tell you. I've never heard it. But these are all basically culturally appropriated and used inappropriately. Peanut gallery, when I read that, I was like, wait a minute. Whenever I was a kid growing up, you go to the movies, you sit on the front row, and people would call that sitting in the peanut gallery because it's the kids sat in the front row because they wanted to see the movie really big. But the definition is, it's not the front row of the movie, it's the last row of the upper balcony. Well, how does that become the peanut gallery? Maybe, I don't know. But then it goes on to say something about there was the cheap seats, and that's where all the black people would sit. And like, oh, well, now you're telling me stuff. It's like, I never knew that. Every time I went to the theater, I never saw that happening. And every time the peanut gallery was referred to the kids that were in the theater, not a particular race of people in the theater.
I thought maybe it was a museum with all of the Charles Schulz
cartoon characters,
all of his artwork for that.
And then, of course, powwow, cultural appropriation, red line. You can't use that one. You never just read that in your definition. Alternative is scrap, shell, mothball, and so forth. And I'm thinking, well, that's not exactly what red line means. We used to use red line when I was in the military and doing maintenance, because if our equipment was dead and malfunctioning, we put a red tag on it, and it was red line. If you had a vehicle that needed maintenance and it didn't run, it was redlined. It meant that it needed to be fixed.
All the way to the red part that says, hey, fix me.
Yeah. But the definition says it's an effort to demonstrate what's included and what's not included. Well, that's true, but it's not included because it has a shot engine in your Jeep. You got to fix it. It's redlined until you fix it. So it's excluded because it's non-functional. So, of course, it's redlined. But the reason why it's problematic, it says editing is being referenced. Okay, editing, red line, editing. And I thought, well, whenever you're in grade school and you fill out your math problems in pencil and they get them wrong, and your teacher marks them up in red ink. So because I'm being corrected that it's bad, being corrected in that way is good, because if you understand what you got wrong, then you learn how to do it right the next time.
And if it's in red, it
makes you feel bad. It's an emotional feel bad. And so a red line is a no-no. Like, oh, come on. This is a college that does this? Come on, people. Another one I like, the next one, is jerry-rigged. Now, of course, here's why it's bad. Jerry refers to Germany. It's a slang term developed in World War II for the German people. And something that's jerry-rigged is something that is kind of designed poorly, slipshod.
Improvised.
And those things are true. That's what jerry-rig does mean. You kind of improvise a non-standard fix that doesn't work like it should, but it gets the job done.
You know, so that way you can get your broke down Jeep to a place where you can actually fix it or something.
Your broken down red line Jeep up and running enough to take it to the proper facility to fix it, yeah. But here's the problem is, and now, of course, their definition does say that it's, you know, related to the German people. But what they don't mention is the reason why people use the word jerry-rig is not a slam against Germans. What it actually is a nice way to put a different term that people use. And as I was telling Chris before I got started, if I was to use the proper term that Jerry Rig replaces, I might get myself canceled, just like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Because
that's the hint that you need to.
That's the hint that the real word, the N-word rigged, is that's the word that Jerry Rig is the nice way of saying it. It'd mean the same thing. It's improvised and kind of slipshod, hastily repair, but it's a nice way. It's a nice way to put a worse word. And if suddenly that's a bad word to use, another thing to consider is, you know, in World War II, we were at war with Germans and they were our enemies. And maybe we should give it up. That's fine. I really don't use the term jerry-rig, but yeah, there's better ways to put that. And improvise is a good one, yeah. But this list goes on. I'm going to see if I want to jump over some, like have Sherpa. I never use that word. Spirit animal, I never use that word.
I've used it in fun a couple times, but I mean, I guess it's more like, oh, you can't do that because you're like making fun of Native Americans.
Totem pole is another one. These all basically fall into the category of culturally appropriation. Now, the thing with spirit animal, when I got looking at it, I thought, yeah, I Whenever I think of spirit animal, I think of Harry Potter. And Harry Potter is about witches and witchcraft. I was like, I don't have anything to do with that. I'm as distant from that as I can possibly be. I wouldn't use their phrase. I wouldn't culturally appropriate their phrase. That phrase is safe for me. And so are these other ones I just mentioned. And in fact, low man on a totem pole is actually a compliment. Because if you know anything about totem poles, the top guy on the totem pole is, you would think that's, you know, the head man of the tribe, but actually it's the bottom man. The guy on the bottom is actually the main chief of the tribe. He's because the everything is built on him. He supports the weight of everybody else. Yeah. So it's actually the low man on the totem pole is really the best person to be if you want responsibility and be in charge. Then we get into red team, white team, yellow team,
atomic team,
which is like they're all color coded. So what's the deal with that? Well, apparently red has a negative, angry connotation. Again, white. We've talked about white and black earlier. So you're not supposed to use color codes to denote teams because, you know, the most generic team thing you could do is color codes. You're not trying to pick names like, you know, the Indians or the Cowboys or the Braves. Yeah. You're picking colors. They're generic. But suddenly you can't use them because they have emotional connotations.
And of course, in the context of what they're saying, it's, oh, you can't say like red atomic team for whatever reason because of course, whatever race, but again, it's against
communist Russia. Yeah.
And it's like,
well, you know, they do have a red flag with a sickle on it, which is how they became known as Reds to begin with, because of the red flag, red communist.
But that means, and it's used in a way that what they're in a bad light. It's like, yeah, well, communist Russia was kind of, you know,
they were our enemies all during the Cold War. In World War II, they were very tenuously our allies.
But it was more a case of
my enemy
is my friend.
Yeah. And ever since the Cold War ended, they haven't exactly been our open buddy buddies.
They're not exactly warm with us.
Even now with the Ukraine situation, they're showing themselves to not be so friendly. But here's one I want to talk about. I think I might have jumped into the next category, which is disability. And let me tell you, this first one, maybe the first couple here, but the first one really, really ticked me off. Not because, okay, here's the term, blind spot, blind to the truth. That doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. What really made me mad is their alternative uses. Suggest alternatives to blind, imperceptive, ignorant, uneducated, dense. Like, are you calling me dense and uneducated and perceptive? Your alternate words to replace it with are so much more insulting to me than ever just saying blind was. So if you were to put your alternates on your webpage and you had me come in, I'd probably punch you in the nose. You call me insensitive and stupid?
Hello.
No. Just use the word blind. I'm not lack of aware of anything or the fact you're dumb.
Several colloquialisms use the word blind to describe the lack of awareness.
Yeah, I'm not a lack of aware. I'm reading your list. I got your number. But of course, along the disability line, you can't use the word crazy. You have to use baffling, confused, disoriented, amazing, very complicated, wild, ridiculous. It's like,
yeah, there's like a bunch of them where it's like, you know, it. Whenever you say the word crazy or insane, for you know what it means, they're like, in the contexts that you're normally going to use it in,
yeah,
it's easier to say than some of these
other things. Yeah. But I might kind of get that a little bit. Another one I have is Cripple or Lame. Because if something's lame, it's weak. If something is crippled, it means it's, you know, fully functional. It's been in some way, you know, tampered with or tripped up or something. There's nothing wrong with those phrases. Another one is dumb. Suggest alternatives is clueless, uninformed, ignorant, mute, non-vocal. Now, the thing is, what people don't realize, maybe they've forgotten, the word dumb refers to not being able to speak. You know, we have dumb animals. We call them dumb animals, not because the animal is stupid, because they can't talk. So a dumb has nothing to do with your mental acuity of being clueless or uninformed or ignorant. Non-vocal, that's a good one. But I think the people that made this list just are reading way too much into this. They have, of course, related that as a dumb terminal. Now, you don't really see a dumb terminal much in the last 30, 40 years. But back whenever computers were first emerging into wide use, you would have a mainframe computer. Remember, it would be your master computer. And then there wouldn't really be a slave, it would be a dumb terminal. A dumb terminal just meant you had a screen and a keyboard. It had zero computing ability. All it did was connect to your mainframe, and it logged on to the mainframe, and it used all of that computing power, and then it outputted to your screen, and you inputted with your keyboard. So what you're doing is using this dumb terminal to input and output to the mainframe. So what's the problem? It's pretty apt. The computer, that terminal doesn't speak. It's dumb. It has no capability. It's just there. It's really a peripheral of the mainframe. But that's the term that was used. And that's the history behind it. This I haven't seen him use anymore. Then they have deaf to something, deaf. And again, just like blind, did it say alternate use is unwilling to unwilling to learn, understand, misunderstand, uneducated. And like, so whether you're blind or deaf, they're calling you stupid or uneducated. Yeah, use those alternates. You'll make me a lot more mad than if you just used the word. And normal is
a word. Yeah, I was going to say, I want to jump to normal.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about normal.
As a normal, as it pertains to health, they say it's offensive because if you are disabled in some fashion, that, you know, it's offensive to anybody who's disabled in any fashion because it implies that they are.
Do you have a goal that I don't have?
But they're suggested things are sighted person, hearing person. It's like, that's just ridiculous. And why it's problematic is it's like, if you call somebody, somebody's health normal, that you're denigrating disabled people.
Yeah.
Like, I myself refer to my own health as normal because I understand
if you're a disabled person, you understand you're a disabled person, and you understand that a normal person has five senses and normal faculties. It's a standard. It's a baseline. And so if you deviate from the baseline, then something is missing, and that would make you disabled in that area. If disabled people understand this, and this definition sounds like it was written by somebody who was a normal person who got their panties in a bunch and thought, we can't, I feel so bad because somebody can't see me or hear me.
I think they're the same sort of people that would cringe if they were sitting next to a blind person and a comedian told a blind joke.
Well, can you believe that? Aren't you offended?
No, it was actually pretty funny.
There is a comedian, I don't know what his name is off the top of my head, but he told us a joke along that line he related how his mom was dating somebody who had an artificial leg. At the time he was a kid, he didn't know this. And this, you know, mom, they weren't married, it was like boyfriend, came in late one night and they got to an argument. And he happened to wake up and he peeked into the room where they were arguing. And she literally pulled off his leg and threw it down the steps to, you know, make him go after it. And the kid thought, my mom pulled off his leg. And he told this story about his childhood. Well, someone in the audience said, I can't believe you would tell such an offensive joke about somebody who was disabled. And while she was yet speaking, a guy walks up, hey, that bit about the one-legged man, that was hilarious. And he pulled up his pant leg to show he had an artificial leg.
Yeah.
And the comedian looks at the lady and says, are you offended? Yeah. Because he's not. Well, he's got the artificial leg.
And then, of course, the other potential. A normal person can use a computer with a mouse and keyboard. You should actually say a person with people without physical disabilities have the option to use these things. It's like, I am kind of hurt that like I can still use a mouse and keyboard. I might not know where the mouse pointer is, but I can do it.
But yeah, I think that most disabled people have a much better sense of humor and understanding about that. That it's the people who aren't disabled who need to be trained on that. In fact, the next thing is the word see. The word see, S-E-E, is offensive because a blind person might take offense that you're saying, see this page, see this link. Like, no, when it comes to links, the thing that ticks me off is when it says, click here, click here, click here, click here. Tell me, whenever I click here, where am I going to go? Click here to visit contacts. Click here to visit resources. Click here to visit sales. Now I know what you're talking about. It doesn't. You could say see, or you could say click. Those things are to me are irrelevant. Tell me the target. Where am I going to go?
Well, I just think in general, so they say see, but it's not see slash look. Whereas, like, because we. Whenever I got my new phone, we went to the AT&T store, and the lady was trying to help me get my stuff all situated. My brother David was with me. We're sitting there, and we're just sitting there, and she was having problems finding what she was looking for on the screen, and she goes, "I can't see this," and then. She goes, I just can't see where this is. And somebody, one of her coworkers, walks over and types in on the screen, immediately finds it. But, oh, thanks. It's like I was blind or something. And I'm just sitting there kind of reading. And David goes, you trying to say something?
It's my time. My time.
He says,
but the thing is,
but he's got a big old grin on his face. And then she's like, I'm so sorry.
Like, but when it comes to words like see and look and watch, blind people say those all the time. Let me see that. Did you look at that? Got to look at that.
I watched this the other day.
It's not an offense, you know. If we move on, the next one is ageism. There's only one item there, and it's called Greybeard. And you were commenting about like Lord of the Rings, Greybeard or something.
Oh, I just said I wondered if they were offended by Gandalf the Grey. Yeah. But that was there's a video game. There's literally a group of people called the Greybeards.
The term refers to somebody who's been around. They've worked here for 20 years. They know this company inside and out. They're the If you need a resource, you go to them to answer your questions. The graybeard, the guy, the expert, the local, go-to guy who has the answer man. But it's offensive because, it's ageism. Maybe somebody doesn't want to be thought of as being old and gray. And I thought, I don't get it. The only thing I would think would be offensive is if you're talking about a woman who was in that role, then maybe she doesn't want to be known as having a beard. But other than that, I think that would be a badge of honor, not an offense.
I mean, I guess you'd say gray hair, but if you really wanted to be generic on that.
Then the last section here it gets into is sexuality. And of course, you can't use pronouns like he, she, or if you're going to type it out, you don't put, you know, /he for, you know, come back, he, she. Most of them have to do with that. He or she is offensive. You can't use words like freshman or upperclassman because it has the word man in it.
The same with mankind.
Mankind, manpower. You can't use anything that has those gender distinctions because they're offensive. You're leaving out the females if you say manpower or man hours. But I was telling Chris earlier, you know, with man hours, it's not the unit of work that a person does on a job. Man hours means the collective number of hours the whole team puts into an effort. It's not just a person, but you call it man hours because several people do it.
And then, of course, along the lines of the pronouns, you can't even say preferred pronouns because that implies there's a choice.
But prefers, I prefer something as a choice. And preferred sexuality or whatever, there was that one.
Sexual
preferences,
there. So, yeah.
But I was made this way. How do you mean I have a preference? But anyway, I think that there might be some more along that, but there's some issues with, you know, using male and female, especially when you use it in terms of inanimate objects like plugs and sockets and receptacles. Which is fine, but it's kind of reverse of earlier. Here you're saying you have why you want to use human sexuality, male and female, to apply to inanimate objects. But earlier they were saying the opposite. It was pressing, like with the race, you're saying black and white means evil and good, and you're pressing into applying to humanity. And now you're saying you can't apply humanity into inanimate things. So it's like, it's convenient how they want to just
pick and choose
what they want to apply to what. But
that's
pretty much, we got through our list. I mean, there are some things we skipped over. There are some things we combined because it really falls into a classification of, you know, white and black or whatever. But
yeah, it's less that they don't have separate descriptions. It's more that they lump them all under, well, this involves race and or specifically these two colors, and we're completely ignoring, you know, any other use of the word black or white.
So it doesn't matter what the context is. If you use black for whatever, you know, black flag, black hack, black team, black spot, black ball, it doesn't matter what you use it for, of course, because the word black is there. It has to do with race. It must be with race, and that's the only thing it must be. It's like, no, you're misunderstanding where the terms come from and what they mean. You're making the terms mean something they were never intended to mean. But anyway, there's that list, and I hope folks have been educated about how the crazy, well-educated progressive left think about stuff, how they're appropriating not only our culture and society, but how they're appropriating the English language to twist it to mean stuff it's not supposed to mean.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, just the Anti-Defamation League, may as well get to the word racism, where it used to mean until like 2020, what it actually is, you know, thinking that somebody
it used to refer to different ethnicities, different ethnic groups,
and they're inferior to you because they look different than you, or
preferring your own race over another one's race.
And then, of course, in 2020, they changed it to basically be racism means anything that white people do.
It's a power struggle where you have oppressor races and discriminated races.
And then earlier this year, because some certain celebrities have expressed views that was like very questionable, like, ooh, wait, you know what? Maybe we should kind of read.
Who were making claims that the Holocaust was not about race. It's not about race. Well, it kind of was.
Well, let's kind of bring it back on, steer it back towards what it used to be. But they've even already said that it's a temporary definition. They're going to think harder about what it is. And then, of course, there's something on their website that is still misdefined. Like, it's like still contradictory.
Apparently then race is a cultural construct that can be melded and bended as cultural flows into something different. But if words are going to be so fluid, why have words at all?
We should all grunt like Tim Allen.
No, grunt and point.
Looking for strategies that will help you engage in meaningful conversations with members of the Mormon Church? Well, if so, take a look at Sharing the Good News with Mormons, a new book produced by Harvest House Publishers and edited by Mormonism Research Ministries' Eric Johnson and Sean McDowell. Sharing the Good News with Mormons includes 24 helpful essays from 24 Christian apologists, scholars, and pastors. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or order directly from mrm.org.
Did you know that Striving Fraternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible Interpretation Made Easy, Creation Science, Evangelism, Presuppositional Apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
Well, like I said, hopefully this has been educational for folks. We've been, of course, having some fun, poking fun at the weirdness of our culture and stuff. But we better go ahead and sign off. This is your host, Keith, signing off, saying thanks for listening. Maybe next week we'll have Nathan Caldwell back to co-host with us. So hey, tell a friend about us, leave us a rating and review, and see you next week.
Be cool, cats.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at @HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.